We Talk Podcast presents...
Welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host Joshua and William Arbuthnot with the ultimate fave. God damn it.
What the fuck?
It's only right that I mess up this intro on this pod. Oh my god.
It's gonna be a long
one. What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host Joshua and William Arbuthnot with the ultimate baby face, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
It's going boring.
Yeah, it's a little flat.
Joel, on Sunday night, we get breaking news from Wade Keller. News will change the industry! Joel and Josh speculating, oh my god, is WWE getting Ring of Honor and TNA and... Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and ZZW and all these indie promotions onto the network. Oh my god, this will change everything. Holy shit. Nope. Didn't happen.
Nope. Was not going
to. It wasn't even enough to be a fart in the wind.
Yeah.
It was nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, nothing special.
Some company that sounds like a tampon supplier is going to be streaming some indie wrestling.
And like they got Evolve, which is nice for Evolve and Gabe Sapolsky, because that's a nice step forward for him. But $20 a month, not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever.
I
think you and I. People will never know the conversations Joel and I had offline about this.
Oh, we were speculating.
We were so excited Sunday.
We were happy. We were, like, ready for something big to happen. We're like, we're going to have to do an emergency podcast on Monday, and then we'll have a regular podcast out this Friday. And
I started work 4 hours early so I can start a pod for y'all. And, no. Didn't quite happen.
Thanks,
Wade. Thanks, yeah. Wade. I appreciate it. Wade Keller, you're on the list!
I think he's on a few people's list, but I don't think he cares, so...
I don't think he cares, but, like, I do find it irritating, not just with pro wrestling, but in life, but mainly with pro wrestling journalists, they never admit when they're wrong. You'll have NBA journalists, NHL, NFL journalists... If they admit they got the story wrong, they'll admit it.
Yeah.
Pro wrestling journalists never undersell or admit when they've got a story wrong. He's still selling it like it's the biggest thing that's ever happened.
It could be the stepping blocks to something big, but it's...
For sure, but it's not life-changing for the industry.
No, it's definitely not.
And Uncle Dave Meltzer, tried to warn us all about it.
Just gotta trust the Wrestling Observer and good old Dave. The Bucks like him, so that's gotta mean something.
So really not much more to say on that from my side. Do you have anything else to say on that?
I'm not paying $20 a month. I get the WWE Network, and I get New Japan World. I'm good.
Yeah, and those together are $20.
Yeah, and I get the Fight Network here in Canada, so I get Ring of Honor and CMLL and all that
and
stuff.
And Weekly British Wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, good try, but, no dice. The next subject I wanted to bring up to you, well, there's two subjects. One is an area that Joel doesn't like to talk about very much, so we're going to go over it really quickly. Daniel Bryan took a shot at Donald Trump on Talking Smack, got a little shit for it, and, Vince has kind of put the kibosh to wrestlers, do not mention Donald Trump on social media.
Well, you gotta think, Vince is in bed with Trump.
Yeah, they have endorsed a lot of money to his campaign, charities, and I think Trump was a big part of helping Linda when she was running as well.
Yeah, it and I get why, but also Vince doesn't want because it's just not the greatest publicity to have. So
yeah, and he doesn't want that because I mean Vince doesn't want to be kind of associated with the loser either.
No, like if Trump was heads above the winner, I think things would be different. But Trump losing and it just the things that he said and stuff like that, I think it's definitely changed a few things. And good on Vince for not wanting any mention of it, because really and truly, you should just move forward from it.
Although, I will not be shocked, Joel, if we get something on the night before the election. I'm going to put a bet that there is something the night before the election.
Oh, there probably will be. It's Vince.
It's an interesting week that week for the WWE because a lot of people are curious. I know John Pollock and Corey Bauer talking about it on theirs, so if they'll have any promotional stuff for Trump because of how much they put into Trump and whatnot and how much he's been involved with WWE in the past. But also, what do they do with that SmackDown? There's been a lot of debate from fans, not from the company inside, that you know, it's in Glasgow, Scotland, and you and I have talked about this notion of trying an afternoon show.
Yeah, like, it doesn't hurt, because your ratings are going to suffer regardless. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just, it's happens once every 4 years. If this was going to be a common weekly thing, then I'd be like, yeah, maybe you're going to have to change your time or change something. At this point, you really just kind of ride it out for that week, and you just kind of go, it is what it is, and just let it go. I wouldn't mess around with it too much.
See,
there's no reason.
Okay.
There's no reason to mess around with stuff. Just it's a one-time thing. It'll happen once, and then you're still gonna have to contend with big things. Just kind of ride it out. You know you're gonna take a hit that week, and then just keep moving forward.
My thing is, all eyes are going to be on the election in America. I can't speak for – and Canada. I can't speak for our friends outside of North America. And I just think it's a nice little experimental time. You know that you're going to get killed in the ratings, so why not experiment with something in the afternoon?
Yeah,
and I can't imagine USA has a lot of big programming in the afternoon, and maybe it's just – but maybe USA just wants something in that time slot as well, but – I can't see the pain in experimenting with something in the afternoon. And the worst part about for that show is, too, number one, you're going against the election, and then number two, the biggest match they've booked so far is Alexa versus Becky, and I'm assuming there'll be an AJ versus Dean match in there as well.
Oh, yeah.
But the results will be leaked out before the show even airs.
Oh, yeah. So it's one of those things where you're kind of – I don't disagree. They could definitely give something a go and try it. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit there and be like, they have to do something. It could be like, it's there. I'm going to probably read the results, and that'll probably be, oh, I know the results. Meh.
Yeah. Yeah, because all eyes are going to be on the election that night. And, yeah, again, we're not going to really talk too much about it, but it'll be interesting as we get, we're about 3 weeks or so out now from the American election. And it'll just be interesting to see if any Donald Trump influence comes into it or not. The McMahons are notoriously Republican, so we know which side they're rooting for, but that doesn't mean a lot of the roster follows that. And do you like the idea of telling your roster to keep a lid on it? Because we see a lot of professional athletes, LeBron James, that come to mind, that fully endorsed Hillary Clinton. What do you think about not letting wrestlers have the right to endorse who they want to endorse?
Well, it's when you're part of a company, sometimes you got to play by their rules. And sometimes the company is going to be like, we just don't want you to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just got to bite your tongue and accept for what it is.
Unless your name's Daniel Bryan.
Huh?
Unless your name's Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. I think Daniel Bryan can get away with a little bit, so.
Yeah.
But, and that's the thing, like, at the end of the day, it's your choice what you do with it, so do what you want to do.
So, we'll see what happens. I did find it funny, Brian opening his mouth again and talking smack about it. But we'll move on. The next subject I wanted to bring up to you was, so we're about 3 months removed now since the brand split has started. Is it a success, or is it a bust, or is it in the middle?
Pardon? I was reading wrestling stuff that I was going to use later. I'm sorry.
Okay, no worries. So it's been 3 months since the brand split. Is it a success in the middle or a bust to you so far?
It's in the middle. It's in the middle right now. It's definitely one of those. I think that it's had some positives. It has some negatives. It shines both a positive and negative light. I think certain guys have kind of shined through. I don't think Heath Slater would have got the spot that he did. I don't think Miz would have got the spot that he did without this brand split, because he shined even brighter. So you've got stuff like that where you've got positive stuff. I mean, KO's your world Universal Champion on Raw. I mean, the women could very well headline a pay-per-view. I've heard Vince is dead set against it.
But yeah, Brian Alvarez reported this afternoon, as of right now, the main event is Rusev and Roman.
What?
Yeah.
Joel's not happy.
Because their argument is, and it's a decent argument, is that that has the most behind it for reasoning why it should be in a Hell in a Cell. There's the biggest personal issue and the biggest reason for it to conclude in a Hell in a Cell, which I can't disagree with any of that.
No, I can't disagree either. The build hasn't been great, but in theory the story is, yeah, that should be a blow-off in Hell in a Cell. I wish they'd get rid of these pay-per-views that are tied to matches, like TLC and...
Me too.
Because having a Hell in a Cell used to feel so special. Oh man, they're going to be in a Hell in a Cell. This is going to be awesome. An Elimination Chamber? That's amazing! And that, to me, just kind of has lost its luster. I think if the women aren't going to close the show out, you should use the Universal title to close it out. Have KO get the clean win over Seth, and then not the clean win, because Hunter's going to get involved, but use that to further along some of your big storylines for Raw.
I would agree, and I just think with all these matches, it's just, why not do the women's match? Because I thought Sasha said it best today when she was talking about it. She said, once we get that main event out of the way, then the only other hurdle is to just not have it called women's wrestling and just it be called wrestling.
Yeah.
And that's the next hurdle we want, but we just need to main event and it'll look like we're in line with the other roster. And if you watch SmackDown, that's how it feels right now. SmackDown, the women feel just as integral as the men do. Like, everything blends so well in with the women feuds and the men feuds to a point that it's never blended so well for me with the two women's divisions and men's divisions.
See, and that's one of the reasons why we go back to your original question about the brand split. Is that's one of the reasons why it's worked, is because it...
SmackDown.
Yeah, well, it's worked for SmackDown, because it shows that with good writing and basic storylines, you can give everyone just a little piece of the pie and let them go and run with it. And that's a big thing for me, and that's one of the things where I sit there and I kind of go, well, it's worked because we've been given SmackDown. And I think once Raw eventually does get to that point, because I do think Raw will get to that.
I think when Finn comes back, that's a big help. When Finn comes back, when Emma finally comes into the fray for the women, when Paige can come back for the women, that bolsters that division even more. You got Nia Jax still you can use as well.
Alicia Fox.
Yeah.
Summer Rae. Who would imagine Alexa Bliss would be your top heel? But it's the way it's booked, the way it's
written. Who would have thought right now, Alexa Bliss is in my top five promos for performers this year.
She's been very good. And that's the thing, that a brand split does. With all the negative, you get guys' chances to shine. Like, we sit there and we look back at, like, the SmackDown 6 of ye old history. And, like, you look back to Evolution. Evolution wouldn't have happened. Well, Evolution probably would have happened, but it was such a big deal on Raw, and then when Randy turned, and then when Batista turned, that was a big deal, and it's because they had these separate brands to help foster and grow the story, and I think you're going to see more of that as we go along. It is 3 months in, and I mean, the ratings, like, SmackDown suffered one of its worst ratings in a long time,
It also went against the Warriors and San Antonio game.
Yeah.
You know what it went against? It went against Game 1 of the World Series and the Cavaliers getting their rings. So, not great.
Yeah. So, Raw and SmackDown will never be one of these hugely rated programs. It's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And the sooner you just accept it and move forward, you'll be a lot better off.
People want that $7 million back they lost in the Monday Night War. And the thing is, they're just not coming back, so get over it.
Yep.
Like, you can maybe get $2 million back. You're not getting 7 million people back because a handful of those people went to MMA. Yep. Or just stopped caring about it because I've talked to people that liked wrestling during the Attitude Era, and to them, they're just simply not enamored with the current product. And that's fine. You don't have to be. If I don't like something, I'm going to stop watching it. For example, I stopped watching The Walking Dead. I didn't like the product anymore. And there's still a lot of people watching it, but, you know, I'm not one of them. You're not going to get me back, especially with what apparently was an awesome season premiere this week. Sometimes it doesn't matter how good your product is, you're not bringing people back.
And that's one thing, where it is what it is, and you're going to be marketing to that kind of semi-hardcore kids. Like, I keep going back to it. It's the kids that are going to draw in, and these larger-than-life personalities that will always kind of suck people in. So, at the end of the day, as long as you keep going and moving forward and trying to tell good story, you'll be fine. Have they told good story? Not really, but I think at a point, you know, SmackDown's done a good job telling very simple, basic stories that do what you need them to do. Raw needs to obviously catch up, but this whole brand split, you know, 3 months, I'm not complaining. It's nice to have separate shows and have each show be a little bit different, have different storylines. Then it's not rehashing the same thing over and over and over again. Just sometimes the storylines don't work. Yeah, things don't click. Things don't click on The Walking Dead. Things don't click on Game of Thrones. Every show is going to have that moment where it doesn't click. And the other thing is, you look at some of these other shows, they have off seasons. Their writers get a break. They get to go off, creatively recharge. WWE is year-round writing and creative. And when you have year-round creative, it makes the scale larger. So you're going to have good stuff, but you're also going to have bad stuff. And it's going to be that hit and miss. You're never going to constantly have amazing writing year in and year out. Unless you're Breaking Bad. That's a totally different conversation.
Yeah. This is true. I've seen a few people, What Culture, Sportical, write articles about why the brand split hasn't worked. And I think a lot of them are pretty shallow answers. To say, like, they're crossing brands. It's like, really? They crossed brands once? And that was for in a promotional match, and it hasn't happened again. So I really think that's a lame excuse.
Yeah.
I've seen they've brought stars back from the past. Who? They brought Goldberg back. That's one person. That's for a special deal.
I guess
I think those are just really lame, shallow excuses that make excuses why maybe you don't like it.
Yeah. I guess you can make the argument for, like, the Headbangers, Curt Hawkins, and
those are one-time things, though. Yeah. I don't know what the hell is going on with Curt Hawkins, but
I don't know either, and I don't care. The thing, I can pick and choose what I want to watch, and it's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, look, Raw has definitely been dragging, and there definitely is favoritism with Raw, but guess what? There always has been.
Yeah. It's Raw's always been the crowning jewel.
Yeah.
Always. But SmackDown, like, I like SmackDown far more, but that's not how Vince is going to see it, and that's perfectly okay. Mm-hmm. Because I'm still getting what I want from SmackDown.
Like, if I was going to look at my negatives of it, just to be... since day one of this, I have more so than even Joel wanted this brand split. And I think, so far, the negatives have been, you know, the depth issue has been a problem, but at the same time, if you write well, like SmackDown, obviously there's a distinct difference in talent. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There's a distinct difference in talent. because they can take someone James, like James Ellsworth, and as much as I'm not a fan of him, that guy's a star right now, and you care about him. So it doesn't matter if there's a little more shallow depth. That's ridiculous. It's an inherent discussion, and I've seen some people like, well, maybe the pool in NXT, it's getting pretty shallow. Really? Because I'm pretty sure it's a pretty deep pool in NXT right now. It's anyone that's just looking at it, Shinsuke Nakamura and Samoa Joe and Bobby Roode, they're missing a lot of other people in there are going to be fantastic. I mean, Eric Young is down there. Roderick Strong is down there. There's some diamonds in the rough that won't come up this year, but we'll be talking about a 2017 preview, like Patrick Clark, who I want to give him this part, but really quickly, what do you think of Patrick Clark's Prince gimmick?
I haven't seen a whole lot of it. Like, I've seen little bits of it. I think it could hit. Like, he's a guy that's passionate about the business, so he's going to do whatever he needs to do to gain his footing and get moving. So, you know what? Run with it. See what happens with it. The worst thing you can do is try something and go, oh, maybe this didn't click. All right.
Exactly.
Well, I'm in developmental, so I can try something new again.
So, and he's one of the guys. The Revivals are some of the guys. Mandy Rose, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, Liv Moore, Amber Moon, Asuka. Even the Powers of Pain, I wasn't a huge fan of until I watched them in NXT this week. I'm like, this is the team that if you booked correctly, I mean, if is the operative word right there, because you've seen what they've done with the Ascension. But if they did the right thing, it could be tremendous. My point being is, there's a lot of talent to spread around from NXT onto these rosters. I think saying that the rosters don't have enough talent in them is a terrible excuse. Have all the talent been booked correctly? That's a different argument.
And that's the thing. Like, booking is key for all of these. Because Shinsuke could come up to the main roster and be booked downright terribly. And that could stall out anything.
Sushi Chef.
Yeah. Oh, God. No, I see it. I actually can vision Vince pitching this idea.
That's the scary thing.
But, I mean, here's the thing. Like, you look at, like, when the Shield came in, how Seth and Dean were booked. It's paid off their booking. Because they're three of your main staples. Seth, Dean, and Roman. Those are your three guys, and that's because of how you booked from the Shield. They were the most protected and pushed guys since Bobby Lashley. And now, you're going to have to do the same with a few of these guys from NXT. So you take, like, a Joe, a Strong, a... Like, AJ's been, right now, minus the James Ellsworth, he's beaten Cena clean. No one can take that away from AJ Styles. He's beat John Cena clean, and the only John Cena win was from a tag team. So John Cena has never beat AJ Styles one-on-one in a clean match. That's strong booking to me. And I really hope they do the same with the rest of these guys, because you can fill out the roster with some of these guys, but unless you book them really strong, like The Miz and Dolph were booked strong. That was booked strong, and that had...
We care about that feud. I care about that Miz and Dolph feud. You know, that would be a feud, like, you look at Dolph and Corbin and how that went on and on, Joel. Miz and Dolph has gone on and on, but I look forward to more of what this feud is going to be. It's one of the few opportunities of long-term booking that the WWE has done correctly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So far, I would probably give it a B-. Let's come back to this at the beginning of the year. Right now, I give it about a B- to a C+.
Yeah, that's fair. I'd probably give it a similar rating. It's not knock it out of the park, amazing, spectacular, but it's not downright horrible. So, yeah, given it...
I think it's in a better place, because can you just think about this roster right now, all scrammed together?
Oh, it'd be too crowded.
Like someone like Alexa Bliss and Carmella would be lost in the shuffle.
Oh, yes. There'd be...
And that's the best part. And look, there's Sheamus and Cesaro stuff, and that's pretty awful. But hopefully it pays off, and then they get a singles rub. And I don't know what they're doing with Sami Zayn. A lot of the problems is really Raw, let's be honest.
Yeah, like... There's something about some of the booking for Raw that's been very rough for certain guys that have suffered. But I think as things go along, I think things will get better. Things have to get better, right?
They have to. I mean, I think Survivor Series will be the perfect time to really show how much the brand split means.
Yeah.
I'll go to the next story. So we saw The Undertaker 2 weeks ago, and he was on crutches. But there was a lady with a walkie boot there, and there's all these conspiracy theories. Well, we saw Undertaker again this week in full Undertaker garb, but not exactly where we thought we would see him. He showed up to the Cavaliers game with wife Michelle McCool and was there to take pictures with the Cavaliers, who, you remember, LeBron had worn a shirt of the Undertaker before the Cavs had their big comeback against the Golden State Warriors. And then later on, Kyrie Irving kind of had a mixed shirt, called himself the Under Ankle Breaker. So Undertaker came back, full garb, took pictures, and he looked great.
Yeah, looking nice, healthy, and happy. So maybe he is truly the dead man, and he'll just keep going.
And yeah, then he sat courtside after, and he looked fine. So
the dead will rise. He's got to be a medical marvel, doesn't he? Just the fact that he's still able to move and breathe and function as a human being, that has to be a medical feat in itself.
It's crazy to think this guy was wrestling for the WWE, like, made his debut in 1991. So I think sometimes we forget that.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's almost wrestled for over 30 years.
It's crazy! And he's still one of the most over guys on that roster!
I know. What do you got next for news stories, Joel?
Someone doesn't like Becky Lynch's accent.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Here's the thing. Like, I don't go into work and go, I don't like your accent. You're not gonna make it. I don't like you. I don't like you. This is... What is wrestling junior high? Is that what level this is? Who cares if she has an accent? She's probably one of the most over babyface female performers you have on SmackDown. Just, no, bad Bucky. And if we're going to talk about accents, he's got to have an accent because of those big teeth in the front.
Unfortunately, he doesn't. I've heard him talk.
Oh, that makes me a little sad. I was hoping it would be like how Cornette made him sound.
Yeah. I think it's pretty ridiculous. I mean, I'm from England, so I know all about accents. So, and it really doesn't bug me. I think you want to embrace something different within your company, and it just shows how out of touch you can be sometimes. And speaking about out of touch, Joel, what the hell happened with that Paul Heyman promo?
Well, what I heard was from what I've heard, it seemed like they came in with a plan, Heyman tried to deliver, Vince blew a gasket and pulled the plug on it even before it got halfway through.
Yeah, so they came in to Minnesota, and here's the thing. So at the beginning of the show, people, I guess, when they sat down, were already chanting, Suplex City. Okay, so that's your first hint, right? Your first hint. During Superstars, they were chanting, we want Lesnar. Second hint. Third hint. Curtis actually comes out and gets the second biggest pop of the night.
Good for him. I heard rumors.
And where's he from?
He's from Minnesota.
We'll get to Curtis Axel in a bit, trust me. So there's your third hint. Two Lesnar chants, and then the guy that you don't book correctly, but he's back home getting big chants. So you come out, and your plan is that there will be Goldberg chants. Obviously there won't be. And that was the entire idea of this promo, was to get Bill Goldberg chants. Not only did they not get Goldberg chants, when Heyman said, stop chanting Goldberg, the crowd started chanting, Goldberg sucks.
Yeah.
So now, Joel, I do want to talk about this promo. The ever-going question. You and I will be there live. Will Goldberg get booed in Toronto?
I don't know. I'm mixed. It could definitely happen where he could. But it's a possibility.
I'm personally not booing him myself.
No, neither am I.
I'm chanting Goldberg because it's a fun chant, and it's probably the only time I'm ever going to get to do that in my entire life. So I will be chanting Goldberg. But I'll also be chanting Suplex City. I'll be going for Brock in the match, but I will be chanting for Goldberg when he comes out.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be interesting what gets over and what... Because Toronto is bizarro land, so we don't quite know what we're going to get.
And you have those traveling Englishmen.
Yeah, so I don't know how they're going to react, but it's going to be fun to see.
Because you and I last week, we were sold, he's getting cheered.
Yeah.
This was a bad example because it was in Brock's hometown. It'll be interesting to see next week. And more importantly, the week after that when they're face-to-face.
Yeah.
As for the promo, that was the first. That was probably the worst. I can't even say Paul Heyman did a bad job because he was just given a direction, and he tried to run with it, and he tried to get them to turn, but he just couldn't get them to turn to chant for Goldberg. So, yeah.
And Heyman openly admits that that was one of his worst promos. So,
I don't blame Vince for pulling the plug.
No. And you have to, especially when certain things happen. You gotta call an audible sometimes.
Because some people are like, Vince is out of touch, and what an idiot. Okay, well, if you're in charge of this, and you're the boss, you're the producer, Joe, you're a producer yourself, so you can give Vince better insight with this. You see a segment like this bombing, and it was supposed to go into 5-10 minutes, apparently. I don't know. Are you really willing to let it go longer? And there's no point. You know you've lost the war. You've lost the fight. You don't want to lose the war, right?
Yeah.
So I don't blame him for pulling it. I mean, I think Vince realized this segment is shit no matter what we do now. So let's just fucking end it.
Yeah.
As a producer, what would you do in that situation?
You got to pull the plug. You got to call an audible.
Yeah, and I know it's tough and it makes everyone look like shit, but it's the right choice.
So,
it was not the right choice to bring him out there and think that he was not going to get cheered. And I think the best is Brock smiling during this, knowing probably him and Paul Tim, like, I told you so, I told you so.
Yeah. And Brock seemed to be having fun with the segment, but I think, yeah, you got to pull the plug. You got to kind of walk away.
Because I think that was a I told you so situation for Brock.
Yeah.
What do you think about, there's been some people saying well, the ultimate way to turn them is just to say, well, I moved to Canada.
I think that could work. But then again, that crowd's so pro-Brock. You could have done it. You could have easily been
But then you mess up Toronto, right?
Oh, yeah, you. Well, he already came out with a Canadian flag for UFC, so how do you think that crowd's going to react?
I know, but WWE hasn't recognized him as Canadian.
It's going to be interesting because you're kind of stuck in this weird spot. I think the face-to-face is definitely going to tell us who's going to get the best reaction.
I did find it interesting, because when Brock came out, I was thinking to myself, are they going to announce where Brock is from?
Vince has ended that.
Stupid. That's stupid if they do that. But it was the ultimate heel thing, if I was booking this, and you're going to sacrifice Toronto, but it's 3 weeks away, so you sacrifice what possibly can happen in Toronto for the sake of having Brock get booed. So you bring him out, and JoJo says, from Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And then Heyman talks, and then Brock gets it, is like, that's right, I'm from Canada. I thought Brock should have got it. So there's a reason I left this town. I'm Canadian. I'm not American. And that's the ultimate heel turn in the States, if you say anything disrespectful about America.
Oh, yeah. You say
you were good enough for me, so I left you.
And then the Americans go crazy. But yeah, do they? So, is it possible they could still cheer Brock?
That's one of the few that you'd be like, huh, it's curious.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. But, you know, at the same time, you know, it is what it is now. You've got that reaction. Now you're kind of going, okay, what's next? What are you going to figure out? Vince blew a gasket. Vince has been kind of on edge lately anyways, so...
So, we go to our next segment, TNA.
Yay!
It's good TNA, though, Joe, because I got a surprise for you.
Uh-oh.
We're going to watch the Hardy's Halloween special live.
Ooh. How are we doing that?
I'm going to send you a link.
Okay.
And we're going to time it out. We did this before, and it worked okay.
Oh, I'm scared now. Where are you sending it?
Oh. I sent it to a text.
Oh, boy.
Actually, I guess you don't have a Mac anymore.
I do, but so, I can watch it on my my phone.
I'm going to say, do you want it on your phone or your computer?
I'll watch it on my phone.
All right. You got it?
Yep.
One, two, three, play.
So we get the TNA Impact logo, which is always a good sign. That's always a sign of positive content. As well as the world, because these events must be documented. And we're here today to celebrate All Hallows Eve and the personal pumpkin
punch. Yes, I have brought my entire... I need to see Vanguard. He's my hero. Brother Nero, Queen Rebecca, King Maxwell, and the fantastic Senior... That's a shirt I need.
I was just gonna say. To think of Vanguard 1 and Senior Benjamin for creating the most amazing maze of cord that the world has ever seen. It shall be absolutely delightful. Oh.
You're getting close to jumping the shark on these, though.
I think so. He's eating corn. Someone I'm supposed to taste!
Brother Nero! Queen Rebecca! Oh no, premonition. Scrap. I just had a very powerful premonition. I need you to record this evening. An outsider will come to the Honey Compound. He will step onto the sacred land of deletion. And he will deliver a message that is very looming. Thank you. So who is it? Who's gonna feed with them? We did it, guys. We conquered the corn maze. Now it's time to head back to House Hardy. Yes, where we will indulge in treat or delete. Delete. That was his actual gardener, right?
I don't know. Oh, what? I don't know what to say. What happens if the kid's asked to be deleted?
I was just going to ask that.
Does he delete them?
Is Roxy Elsa?
Maybe.
Lobster Man.
What have we got? Donuts?
I know what I'm heading up for Halloween now.
Well, you hate Halloween, beans. So.
I do. You know what loves a fat hearty? You are wonderful soldiers and
great warriors. This is...
None of these, this is probably no normal Halloween at the Hardys, though. That's the funny part about this.
Oh, yes.
Uh-oh. This? Aren't you a little old to be treating or deleting rust?
Oh, Jesus.
Poor he should have said, what's up with that?
He looks pretty fat, eh?
Hurricane Helms?
Yeah. Is Brother Nero gonna turn on Brother Hardy?
Oh no.
Maybe he'll dress as immortal Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
That shitty belt. This is the weirdest character they've ever done.
I...
That was kind of funny, though. Call him Crazy Steve.
I don't know what to say. I'm a loss for words.
Seems like Jeff wanted to out crazy Matt.
Does he have a what the?
It's like a leaf blower.
It's a weed whacker.
Weed whacker, okay.
So he's making a big logo.
Yeah. See a pumpkin in there. It's probably like the Hardy's logo, and then like.
A pumpkin in it?
Yeah.
The production value is better than any TNA could ever do, so...
Well, when you get money loaned from you from the Fight Network, you can do all kinds of things.
Yeah. They probably earmark money for the Hardys. They're probably like, here, use this for Matt and Jeff. Let them run wild. Happy Halloween.
Twitch. We got one more segment.
3 minutes left. That's a creepy little baby.
I just don't know if this is the Hardy's actual house during Halloween. Or Jeff's house 24/7.
Probably.
Oh, God.
No!
That's funny. Senior Benjamin jobbing out Donald Trump. If Dixie's under this mask, we're ending the podcast. Vanguard is a ghost!
So, the joke is that Matt helped delete emails for Hillary Clinton?
Yep.
Well, Trump got tased by...
Senior Benjamin is going to build a wall on him. Is he going to run for president? Oh, God. He's not terrible compared to Trump and Hillary.
Oh.
We got one more segment. I thought we were done. No, she's Khaleesi. Right? She's Khaleesi, isn't she?
I think so.
Throw away iPads, I guess.
James Storm feud?
Yeah, but who's James Storm going to team with? And he was feuding with Billy Corgan, wasn't he?
At one point in... Yeah, it's the James Storm team. Yep, that's a feud with good old James Storm.
Who, what's that group called?
I don't know. I just know James Storm's under the
Tribune. They call it the Tribunal?
DOC, I think.
Interesting. What did you think? That was the third one?
Fourth one. Fourth one,
because we had the Bound for Glory. So we had the two and then the Bound for Glory one.
Yeah.
That one's probably the worst one.
Yeah. Well,
and keep in mind, they have a Christmas special coming too.
They're really gonna milk this for all it's worth.
They might not have a choice because there may not be no company next year.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, because Dixie owes a lot of money, and all they're doing is taking loans out and loans out and loans out.
And lawsuit after
They took a loan out to do a lawsuit, so Billy Corgan couldn't do anything with the company. But we're not going to talk about anything like that. We're going to stay away from the lawsuits and stuff this week. I just wanted to talk about TNA in a fun way for once.
Yeah, that's fair.
Little side thing I have here before we get to the pay-per-view. Stephanie McMahon's contract was extended today till October 7, 2019. But does that really matter? Her contract's lifelong.
Yeah, more or less. And I mean, she gets to emasculate another talent for another 2 years, so...
Yay. Anything else on the news side from you, or do we move on?
Well, there's a little bit of news, but it's not quite tied into it. It's Mo's birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Huh?
Happy birthday.
See, I figure give Mo a little shout-out. He's been on the podcast lately, but, We Talk Wrestling's been going, and we wish them well, and happy birthday, Mo, and we'll have to all get together and have a podcast where you guys crap all over me.
Soon. What else do we got?
I think that's about it.
So, we'll talk about Raw with the pay-per-view. SmackDown, Randy Orton's part of the Wyatts.
Yay!
Or is he?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I will admit the RKO shocked me. The Kane.
It just kind of came out of left field, which is good. You want stuff like that. You want little bits of like, oh, holy crap, this happened.
Because I think we just kind of thought, oh, it's going to be a task match with Kane and Randy Orton versus the Wyatts.
Yeah.
And I like the idea that they told, too, in Talking Smack of like, Randy's like wit and slitherness and like being the snake with the Wyatts is even makes the Wyatts more dangerous. And I like the story they were kind of telling of how dangerous it could be if Randy Orton joined the Wyatts. I don't think he will, but I mean, we don't know if he'll be in Survivor Series, right, Joel?
Yeah, we might not get to see Randall Keith Orton perform at all.
He may have another baby on the way.
Yeah.
Just good for him. Good news. Yeah. We talked about Alexa Bliss, just a great promo this week, just tremendous. I almost think they should put the title on her.
Yeah, it could be. It's always better to have the babyface chasing, so.
Going back to Raw, Curtis Axel.
Axelmania.
Wow. I think the mistake there, but they just couldn't resist it, could they?
No.
Was beating him. Because he was in his hometown. And Curtis Axel has never been a face on WWE main programming. Ever.
No.
Not as Michael McGillicuddy, not as the Curtis Axel character. He's always been a heel. And he cut one of the best promos of his career, probably next to Alexa Bliss, the best promo of the week.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought he looked really strong in that moment. The crowd was behind him. He did the skull thing, which is a Minnesota Viking and a Minnesota thing. And then they had him lose to Bo Dallas. Bo cheated, but still, I think that was the wrong decision because, like we talked about Raw, there's so many open areas you can do stuff. And I've been preaching for Curtis Axel to be pushed for so long. I thought that was a lost opportunity for them right there.
Oh, yeah. Like, they could have... I think they could have easily cashed in with the Curtis the Axeman and propelled him forward a bit, but he's not on SmackDown, so I don't think it's going to happen. Even though you have 3 hours of content, not going to happen.
I guess we'll see him versus Bo maybe on the pre-show, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get a six-man tag team match for the Cruiserweights for the pre-show.
Okay, so we probably won't get Curtis Axel and Bo till the next Raw.
Yeah.
Yep. You look at the two of them, I don't get pushing Bo Dallas over Curtis Axel.
Maybe it's because
I just don't understand
Vince believes.
Maybe Vince does believe. But, you know, I was talking to you last week when we talked about Curtis Axel when Bo jumped him and just how good Curtis Axel could do in, like, a Japan or a Ring of Honor. And to me, it was kind of justified with that promo just this week. If this guy is let loose, how good he can be.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of the same problem that D.A. Smith suffered from, to be honest. They never let him have a chance to really be who he wants to be or to really show himself off. And that's what we have to show. Also, Raw, we're probably not going to see it on the pay-per-view. I don't know if it's listed. But Sammy and Strowman, what did you think?
You know, Sammy's going to job out to Strowman, but Sammy's going to give Strowman a hell of a match. So I get what kind of the story they're telling, but if the rumors are true and the Survivor Series teams get the swap and steal some wrestlers, then I think SmackDown's going to steal three guys. I think one of them's Sammy.
It makes the most sense. It's weird with Sammy because, like, when the brand split happened, you and I saw do you remember that SmackDown? Kane chokeslammed Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
It was just terrible. And then they both got drafted to the same show, and we were like, oh no, this is not good. But then they had that amazing match at Battleground, and Sami won it. And we're like, oh, well, things are only going to go up for Sami Zayn. and then things have only gone down since that Battleground match for Sami Zayn.
Yeah, it didn't. It hasn't hit. It did not. Sammy needs to go to SmackDown sooner rather than later.
He needs to go to SmackDown and needs to feud with AJ Styles. That seems to be like the perfect next feud for AJ because it seems like the champions may be in these Survivor Series matches.
Yeah.
That's what it's sounding more and more like. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
Anything else that doesn't include anything from the pay-per-view that happened Raw, SmackDown, NXT?
No, nothing pops to mind.
Yeah, NXT, we finally saw the confirmation of Mickie James this week. What did you think of her promo?
I thought it was good. You know, she'll be there wrestling. I think it'll be nice to have her back wrestling. I'm looking forward to what happens. It'll be a good match between her and Asuka, so I'm looking forward to it.
And it sounds like too. She's gonna be the first female inductee to the Hall of Fame this year,
which is good. She earned it. She had a good career, and all in all, deserves to take her spot right in the Hall of Fame.
Also, if you live in Ottawa, your week got a lot better because not only do you get SmackDown, you get NXT TV tapings.
Lucky bastards.
So that'll be the first time in Canada that there's been NXT TV tapings, and Joel and I may have to consider extending our trip now.
We'll discuss it. We'll take a look.
Anything else that the shows?
I think it's time to get
anything
to Hell in a Cell.
Anything for SmackDown? Total Bellas. You know, nothing really super discussed this week. Just really getting more and more into how bad Daniel Bryan's depression is. We talked about it enough last week, but it's scary to know that someone that we all idolize and love that was having such a hard time in their life and struggling so hard.
Oh yeah, and it just shows that it can happen in the blink of an eye.
And it seems like a lot of good things are happening for him now with, you know, seems like he's happy to be back in wrestling again, and you know he has his baby girl on the way, so that is that's all really good stuff, and I'm sure hopefully when this kid comes in, that'll be something that'll brighten his life up.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Pay-per-view, Joel, take it away.
All right, so Hell in a Cell 2016 is a Raw exclusive pay-per-view. Let's start off with the pre-show. We got Cedric Alexander versus Lince Dorado, and Sin Cara versus Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, and Daivari. Who do you got winning? Who do you have losing?
Start with the babyfaces winning, then have Cedric and them boys win. Cedric gets the pin.
Yeah, Cedric's going to be someone that they're going to start to tie a little rocket to, I think. So Cedric's
is Grand Metalik back in Mexico finishing dates, and then he's coming back?
Yeah, I think that's how it's going to work. Finish those up, and then he'll be up with the company. Up with the Fed. So the next match, we got a women's
single. We're putting the women's match last, by the way.
Oh, yeah, we're putting the women's match last. But the women's match that I'm talking about is Bayley versus Dana Brooke. Who wins? Who loses?
Well, I think Bayley wins, but this feud has been really weird. Dana was supposed to put her foot on the rope and cheat that all the time. The arm wrestling thing did not get over well with the crowd. That was a terrible segment. Bayley is getting to that Sami Zayn territory right now.
Maybe it would have been better if she was on SmackDown.
Is it as simple as Bayley wins and we start the Sasha program? Or is Bayley versus Emma next, you think?
Bayley versus Emma. Build Bayley up a bit.
Right. So yeah, I have Bayley winning.
Yeah, I will follow along suit. Bayley. Next match. Tag team match, Enzo and Cass versus The Club, Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson in a tag team match. What happens?
I know what I don't want to happen.
Yes?
I'm going to pick The Club to win this. Just Anderson and Gallows have lost two singles matches to them, right?
Yeah.
So you would think this, by the process of elimination, they would win the tag match. That would make the most sense.
Yeah.
Enzo eats the pin.
It would be logical, but I'm going to pick Enzo and Cass to pick up the win, and they're going to be propelled to their next big feud.
Which will probably be in Survivor Series, and then at TLC, they'll probably win the tag titles, because that will be when New Day's beat Demolition.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep. And speaking of the New Day, they take on Cesaro and Sheamus for the WWE Raw Tag Team Champions.
New Day wins. They lost this week on Raw. They're not it's 50 days from beating Demolition. It's not going to happen.
Maybe Vince has a senior moment and puts Cesaro and Sheamus over and curses himself because he was 50 days away from breaking that record.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. They want to end this Demolition record.
Yeah, because they want to talk about the New Day.
Yeah. Michael Cole apparently got really annoyed when he said the longest running tag team championships, and people like you and me were like, no, it's Demolition.
You're wrong, Cole.
They kind of just want that to end and have these guys the longest running tag team champions and not have to push Barry Darso and the rest of Demolition.
Oh, sad. The next match is for the WWE Cruiserweight Champion, Mr. TJP, who has been given horribly written scripted promos, takes
Joel.
On...
Joel, can we push pause this conversation?
Oh, don't
I'll
start
give you an
with
extra
me.
Life.
Don't start with me. No.
Let me reset the conversation. Let me restart.
TJP.
Let me power up.
TJP versus Brian Kendrick. Who do you got winning?
Well, I mean, will TJP lie down? Because apparently, if he doesn't lay down, it's all over for Brian Kendrick. He's done. Just terrible segments. These two can out-wrestle those terrible segments. That's the good thing. But holy shit, have they been bad. Even on NXT, TJP is using these terrible video game puns.
It's bad. It's so bad. So it's who really levels bad. Up, Josh?
Oh, God damn it. TJP.
Yeah, TJP finds the right button code and beats Brian Kendrick.
He may need a game genie, but he'll do it.
Yeah. Next match is Ruru versus Roman Reigns for the United States Championship in Hell in a Cell.
Well, we all know who we want to win. It would make the most sense because he's the baby face of this feud. And it's Ruru. Because he's been insulted for at his wedding. His wife's honor was done. He got attacked before a match. Roman made fun of his family. I don't get how Ruru is the heel in all of this. If this was logical booking, he would destroy this asshole who's been terrorizing his family and his wife.
Oh.
But let's go with that terrible piece of shit human being that's terrorized a man's family and wife.
Yeah.
Let's go with that guy.
Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's foregone conclusion. Roman's winning this, so.
Mm-hmm. Like, and then who's the next feud?
Sami Zayn. Where he could terrorize Sami's family in Quebec, make fun of his French heritage, and all that good stuff that Roman does, and we'll get cheered.
Yeah. But for real, though, who's the next heel?
I don't know. Oh, I'm thinking...
Yeah, I can't even look up and down that roster unless like they're going to split Sheamus off and do it.
Oh, Roman and Sheamus. Well, they can have good matches, so...
They've done that, actually. They did the last year for the world title. I forgot about that for a second.
Yeah, they've used it for the title.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really know what you do with Roman. I guess you'll put him in the Survivor Series match.
And we'll chant the lead at him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens with Roman. But yeah, I have Roman Reigns winning.
Yeah, oh yeah, Roman Reigns.
Begrudgingly.
That he just terrorized. Rusev has got to be traumatized. Lana has to be traumatized.
They booed his mother!
His mother did nothing to get heat. And
he wanted to share some pictures of his family! He just wanted to share how much he loves his wife! And this man has terrorized him! Team Ruru!
Yeah, but... Oh, yes. Team Ruru. All the way.
He had to cut half his beard off because he was so traumatized, shaved, probably.
He needs a hug.
He does.
The next match is in Hell in a Cell again. And it's for the Universal Championship.
There's a few.
And it's Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins. Let's just say Kevin Owens wins. And what's the over-under of Hunter getting involved? And Chris Jericho?
I'm going to say no Hunter, but Jericho screws him over. But Jericho almost costs him it. He still wins.
Yeah.
Seth isn't winning the titles.
No, no way.
Owens is going to somehow come out with it, but Jericho's going to almost cost him it. I still don't think we'd see Triple H yet.
No.
Unless the plan is to do Triple H and Seth.
I think it is. Like,
but how many people do you have in the Survivor Series match right now? If they're saying that some of these, like, the way Stephanie hinted it is that Jericho and KO are in it. So Jericho and KO are in it, then who else is in that team?
No!
Sammy, Roman, and Rusev?
Yeah, that's gross.
That's six, though. You have to take away one. It makes no sense. It just makes sense to do Jericho and KO.
I want Jericho and KO. I will sit here and pout for the rest of this podcast.
Yeah, I can't... It makes more sense to go Roman, Ruru, Braun, Sammy, Seth. That makes the most sense to me.
But, Josh. Mm. When has anything they've done made sense? They had this madman terrorizing this Russian, Bulgarian, sorry. And it's so sad.
If you know what's funny? Not to harp too much on this, though, but if you explain this to somebody, it's like, oh, I'm watching the show. Oh, yeah, tell me about it. Well, there's this innocent immigrant from Bulgaria, and he finds his beautiful American... she's not American. Forgot. She's actually from Russia. Sorry, I forgot. But he comes to America with his beautiful wife, and they had some hardships, and they finally reconnect, and they reconnect by... He proposes to her, and they fall in love again, and he wins the gold. He wins the championship, and then one day he's out. He's been married, and in front of this entire audience, he has a wedding party and celebrates his love for his wife. And then this guy comes out and beats him up. And then the next week, he says, like, I love my wife so much, I'll defend her honor. And he loses. But that's okay. Then he comes back and he says, you know what? I love my family. And then the guy comes up and beats him up. People would think, like, this guy sounds like a jackass.
Oh, yeah.
And this isn't even us, like, hating Roman Reigns. I've grown to have some appreciation for Roman Reigns, especially with the little
2K17, right?
2K, he's actually got a good moveset. But also when we saw the live event and the little kids, they just love him. I appreciate that factor. And I think he's a great in-ring guy. It's just the way you're telling the story here, he's a piece of shit. There's no way to root for him in this. You want to root for the guy that he has terrorized his wife and family. It's the ultimate babyface story for Rusev.
His redeeming moment at Hell in a Cell.
Like, if Rusev wins, it's the way that his feud should end. He took out this terrible human being.
Oh, but alas.
They wanted him to be Rock Light, and it just didn't work. And you don't hate Rusev. Like, no one hates Rusev. Americans will boo him because, oh, he's so American. But that you have to have more than you're not American.
Yeah,
you can sympathize with The Rock because Stone Cold ran over his Lincoln Continental. Or threw his Intercontinental title over a bridge.
But that was more... You got more pop for that because The Rock was a dirtbag to Austin.
Right, but I'm saying you can understand the in that scenario the two things, right? The back and forth between those two. The feud made sense of both ways of why these two people hated each other.
Yeah.
Rusev has done nothing to Roman.
He just wanted to defend his Intercontinental U.S. title.
Yeah.
That's it. But... Moving forward, we both got KO winning.
Yeah.
Now, our main event of the night, it is for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. And surprise, surprise, it's in Hell in a Cell. First women match ever to be in Hell in a Cell. And potentially first women match to ever main event a pay-per-view. It is Sasha Banks defending her title versus Charlotte. I think we both can agree Sasha wins here. But
yeah, it would have made more sense. We can agree it would have made more sense for her to come in as the challenger, though.
Yeah. Now, my question to you, Josh, is what crazy thing's going to happen in this Hell in a Cell?
They're not going to the top. There's no way. Although, maybe they go to the top just to do a bump on the top.
And then climb back down?
Yeah. Like... Neither woman is getting thrown off that thing.
I don't know if I could handle that.
No, neither woman is getting thrown off of that.
I think Charlotte at one point asked Vince if she could do a moonsault off the top of the Hell in a Cell.
Jesus
and Vince
Christ.
Shot it down right away.
I'm sure if Sasha had her way, she would do a frog splash.
Oh, God. No, the top of the cage would be busted open, like the top, the middle part, and one of them would jump through it. There's going to be something, Josh. It's not going to be Shane-level crazy, but it's going to be something crazy.
So, if this is a new event, should this start the show then?
No, there's no debate to go against it, so... But I have heard that they're concerned that wherever... the placing the women's match is very important because people might leave after the women's match or might get upset if it's not... the main event.
I think you just need to put it the main event. There's no other feud like you have it here. Like, look, the Roman Rusev one, we've been over this. I'm not going to hash it again. We've had our fun with that. It's been the longest feud, so it makes the most sense to be in a Hell in a Cell with how long it is. And the Universal title is a Universal title. Again, that doesn't make much sense. You're making a statement with this. You're not going to make statements with this. And you really have, like, you have more chances. I'm not going to say you one chance, but I don't know. I think with the NXT history, with everything, it makes the most sense. And you're in Hell in a Cell. What better way from the main event? Unless their idea is, no, when they main event, we need it to be a straight-up wrestling match.
Yeah. Like, this,
I think it's just, it's there's so many unknown variables in here, right? Because it feels to me, it's, those other Hell in a Cell matches are going to be fun and they're going to be great, but it's just something, and maybe it's a sexist part of some of the guys' minds of watching these women brutalize each other is something we've never seen, and it's kind of a fresh look again at the Hell in a Cell.
Oh,
because
yeah.
We see Taker get thrown against the cage. Or last year, I remember Roman gave Bray a sick spear spot through a table. And we're like, oh, yeah, that's cool. But if the women do that, I'm like, oh, my God! It'll be amplified. Everything the women do is amplified. And every step they make, everything they do, is going to be absolutely to the moon difference. And I think that's why you need to put it as the main event.
Oh, yes. I totally agree with, like, nothing you said was wrong. This is you're spot on with the logic behind this, but it sounds like Vince just doesn't see it.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's to that I say, like, if you're not gonna put it last, then put it first. So at least you get the crowd heated.
Yeah, you may want to take a look at. I sent you a image via Instagram. You may want to check it out. Just kind of. Take a look.
As we wrap up.
Yeah.
By the way, the fact Charlotte's never lost on pay-per-view is interesting to me.
It's the new streak, Josh.
And they've hit on that quite a bit, and that's why I've gone back and forth on this. Because I just look at it and I'm like, is the feud Sasha and Bayley? Or is it Bayley and Emma? Or is the feud Emma and Sasha and Charlotte and Bayley for the title? Bayley wins the title, and then we go into WrestleMania with a heel, Sasha Banks.
It's possible. There's a few different options they can go with. It's kind of exciting that there are these options and there are these possibilities that they can make work. So, you know, that's one of the nice things is you do have some options now, and you can kind of do a few different things.
So the picture that Joel sent me was, and I sent him a picture too, is how bad Shinsuke Nakamura and Austin Aries got hurt last night.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah. One almost lost an eye, and one's foot looks like it's nearly dead. Like, I've got a video right here of the kick, which I'm about to watch. Kind of want to see how it looks. Austin Aries
should be fine for Toronto, though.
Oh, yeah, he caught him good. He caught him good. And they're still wrestling, too. Oh, and he threw him on his head, too. Well, not on his head, but did a back suplex. Wow. Ouch. Well, hope both of them are all right.
So, Hell in a Cell week should be an interesting pay-per-view, especially with the lineup of things. Anything else?
That's about it.
Alrighty, well, what did you think, going back to the Hell in a Cell, what did you think about that promo? It's really weird what week Mick Foley was saying, oh, this is so revolutionary, I'm so happy for you, and the next week's like, this is going to be terrifying, look at me, I'm beat up.
It's typical Mick Foley Hell in a Cell promo.
Also, it's typical WWE writers not remembering what they did 2 weeks ago.
Nope. None of it phases me anymore. It happens, and I'm like, meh, it happens.
That's the thing with me, too, and maybe it's bad, but when people are like, look at the inconsistency, I'm like, come on, just shut up and enjoy it. It's like, there's a parallel to this, but it's not fully. It's like when you date a super hot chick, only this WWE's not super hot, but she says a lot of stupid shit, and your buddies look at her and be like, you're like, but look, she's so pretty. WWE's just kind of like,
almost like the girl you've dated for a while, and you're just used to a lot of stuff, and she says stupid shit. It's like, well, I've been with her for so long, and she's there. She's entertaining. Just leave it alone, okay? We're good together, okay?
It's
kind of what WWE is.
I do not disagree.
So, everyone enjoy Hell in a Cell weekend. Everyone have a happy Halloween. We'll be interested to see what Goldberg does on Halloween Raw this week.
Halloween that Havoc's will, coming soon.
He will probably be wearing the Goldust wig. So we can't not make that mistake again. So, until next time, cheers.
I'm at a loss for words.
Enjoy the day, people.